Chapter 6. School Days. Samad had not been prepared for children. For 40 years, he had been happily travelling along life's road without thinking about them at all. Then, in the early 1980s, he suddenly realised that 30% of the people he spent time with were under the age of 9. There were children everywhere. His children, other people's children, children who were friends of his children and their friends. It all led to the position he now found himself in. He was a parent governor. It started innocently. He came to help at sports day, and suddenly he was invited to the weekly school meetings, giving money for the roof, organising concerts and talking about plans for a new music room. Before he knew it, he had stopped dropping his 9-year-old twins at the school gates and had started following them in.
"Put your hand down."
"I will not put it down."
"Put it down, please."
"Samad, why do you want to make me embarrassed? Put it down."
"I have an opinion. I would like people to hear that opinion."
"But why do they have to hear your opinion so often?"
This was the argument taking place between Samad and Alsana as they sat at the back of a Wednesday school governor's meeting in early July 1984. Alsana had her tiny hand on Samad's wrist and was trying to hold his arm down. The headmistress, a white woman with curly hair, tried not to look at Samad. His hand had been up and down all evening, and she knew that soon she would have to let him speak again. She looked impatiently at the list of subjects on her paper that had not yet been discussed, but she did not want to think of herself as racist and wanted to seem fair.
"I have another motion," Samad said loudly.
She heard other parents groan and turned to look at him. Some of them raised their eyes to the ceiling.
"Another one, Mr. Iqbal," she said. "Yes, it's about the harvest festival."
More groans. There was the sound of chairs moving.
"Yes, Mr. Iqbal," said the headmistress,
whose name was Mrs. Owens.
"What about the harvest festival?"
"Why are we having it?"
asked Samad.
"And why must my children celebrate it?"
"Mr. Iqbal," said Mrs. Owens, "we have talked about this many times. As you know, the school organises many kinds of festivals for our children's different religions. The Harvest Festival is just one of them."
"It is very simple," replied Samad. "There are 37 Christian festivals every year. There are only 9 Muslim ones. If we take some of the Christian festivals out, we could have Laylat al-Qadr and Eid al-Fitr, for example. And the first festival to go must be the Harvest Festival, because it is not actually Christian. It was created long before the Christians came along."
Yes, said the headmistress. "Shall we vote on the motion?"
Samad raised his arm and pressed Alsana's hand at the same time. She kicked him in the ankle, then slowly put up her right arm.
"Thank you, Mrs. Iqbal," said the headmistress. "Does anyone else want to stop celebrating the Harvest Festival?"
She looked around the room. Suddenly, the hand of the pretty red-haired music teacher, Poppy Burt Jones, came up. Then the hands of the Chalfins, Marcus and Joyce, two middle-aged intellectual hippies wearing Indian clothes, also went up. Samad looked across at Archie and Clara, who were sitting quietly at the other side of the hall. Their hands slowly went up too.
"And all those who want to keep it," said the headmistress.
36 hands lifted into the air.
"Motion not passed," she said.
After the meeting, Samad came out of the toilets and found the pretty red-headed music teacher, Poppy Burt Jones, waiting for him.
"Mr. Iqbal," she said.
"Hmm?"
She held out her hand.
"I'm Poppy Burt Jones. I take Majid and Milat for music."
Samad shook her hand. She was very, very pretty. Slim, and with a girl's body. She wore a white shirt which was open at the neck, and Levi jeans. She had lots of red hair and a lovely smile, which she was showing Samad right now.
"Was there something you wanted to discuss about the twins?" he said.
"Oh, no," she replied. "They're fine. Milat is more musical than Majid, but Majid is doing very well in science and other subjects, so it doesn't matter."
"No, I just wanted to say that I thought you were right, you know, about the Harvest Festival."
She stared at him and smiled again. Was it possible that this beautiful woman was interested in him? Samad moved his feet nervously and looked around for Alsana. At the same time, he knew that he wanted Poppy Burt Jones more than any woman he had met in the past 10 years.
Well, it is good that you agree with me, he said.
Maybe we could talk to the Chalfins and put the motion again at the next meeting, she suggested. I'd like to talk about it more. Shall we meet again?
Yes, that would be fine, replied Samad.
And they did. At first at school, then after work in the pub. Nothing happened between them. There were no kisses, but they talked a lot, and Samad knew that she liked him, and he liked her. When he was not with her, Samad tried not to think about it. He did not want to be at home. He did not want to go to O'Connell's. He spent all his time at work and got angry with Shiva for forgetting to do simple things.
"There is a flower missing here," Samad shouted at him one evening. "And table 15 is dirty."
"What is wrong with you, Samad?" replied Shiva. "Something is making you very angry. We've all noticed it."
"I don't know what you mean," replied Samad.
"I think you do," said Shiva. "Is it a woman?"
Samad said nothing.
"Is it?"
"Maybe."
"Your wife?"
"No, not my wife," he replied.
Then he suddenly decided to tell Shiva everything.
"But she is just a friend. I am not making love to her. She is my son's teacher, but I cannot stop thinking about her, Shiva. I am 57 now, and I am worried about my religion. England has corrupted me. I see that now. My wife, my children, they have been corrupted too. I've let them down. I want to return to the East. I should never have come here."
"I see. Is this woman Muslim?" asked Shiva.
"No," replied Samad. "It's the worst thing about it. She's English. White. English."
Shiva shook his head. "I've been out with a lot of white women," he said. "I had 2 lovely Americans. I fell in love with a French girl and spent a year with a Romanian, but never an English girl. It doesn't work."
"Why not?" asked Samad.
"Too much history," was Shiva's answer. "Too much bloody history."
The next week, Poppy Burt Jones suggested meeting Samad at a park in Harlesden. This made him nervous. Harlesden was very close to home, but he knew that Alsana was at home and his boys were out giving food to old people for the Harvest Festival. What he did not know was that they had now grown bored of this and had decided to come nearer to home. He brought her some Indian sweets and they sat together on a seat. It was autumn and they looked at the last of the flowers. He talked and talked about his life in Delhi before he had met Alsana and brought her to England. And she told him about her life in St. Albans, a pretty town just north of London. She talked about Milat and how loud he was for an Indian boy. Samad replied that he was a good-for-nothing, but she did not agree. They worried that Majid studied too hard and did not get enough fresh air. Then she moved nearer to him.
"I am old enough to be your father," he said. "I'm married. I'm Muslim."
"So we're not a perfect match," she replied.
"I want to spend the night with you,"
he said.
Good, she said, because I bought you this. Then she put her hand in her bag and pulled out a toothbrush.
Samad closed his eyes, then opened them again. Suddenly, he saw quite clearly, on a seat opposite, his 2 9-year-old sons, their white teeth biting into 2 perfect green apples, apples that were meant for the poor and the old. They were both waving at him and smiling.
Samad immediately phoned Archie and went straight to O'Connell's. The two of them sat in a dark corner, and Samad finally told him the whole story of himself and Poppy Burt Jones.
"So, what did you say?" Archie asked. "When they saw you?"
"What could I do?" Samad replied. "I said, 'Hello, sons. Say hello to Miss Burt Jones.' They said hello, and then I looked at my beautiful boys and my heart broke. I kept thinking, how can I teach my sons anything when I have become so corrupted? I thought that the problem was the woman," said Archie. "We could just flip a coin to decide if you stay or go."
At that, Samad hit the table with his hand.
"I don't want to flip a bloody coin," he said. "It is too late for that. I must try to save my sons. I have a choice, like you had a choice in the war with Perry. I am proud of you for that, Archie."
Archie looked at the floor.
"I'd rather not. I just want you to understand. It's the same question now. What kind of a world do I want my children to grow up in? Now I have to be brave, because I can see corruption in them, Archie. Our sons, sisters, daughters don't go to the mosque, and they wear Western clothes and eat rubbish. They have sex with anyone. Zinat's son was caught smoking at school last week. No, I have to make a choice, Archie. I want to send my sons back home, but I don't have enough money to send both of them. I can only send one, and now I have to choose who it will be."